Good evening. Let's open to Luke chapter 15. I want to speak about joy tonight. Joy. Where does joy come from? Yeah, hopefully that's what the answer. We'll have that answer by the end of the message. If not, then I'm sorry. You can help me. If after the message you say, I still have no idea where joy comes from, maybe you can help me. But Luke chapter 15, there's three stories, two parables and a story in this chapter. There's the lost sheep. How many sheep did the shepherd have? He had 100. How many did he leave? 99. For how many? What's 99? 100 minus 99. One, okay. One. He left the 99 for the one. And what was his reaction when he found the one? Rejoiced. Oh, he rejoiced. Did he say to the one, oh, I'm tired of you. I'm sick of you. I can't believe you did it again. Do you know your brothers and sisters are back there and they are terrified because I had to come and find you? No, there's rejoicing. And even he picks it up. Right? He lays it on his shoulders, verse 5. He lays it on his shoulders and he rejoices. That's a great, great way to picture ourselves. And as the sheep, we are on his shoulders. And what are we hearing? We are hearing him rejoice. We don't hear him grumble and complain about us. They did it again. I can't believe he wandered off again. No, rejoicing. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad I found. I'm so thankful we're together again. I'm so thankful that I can carry this little lamb again. That's us. That God is thankful and he rejoices in the reality that he has us. Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just ones who need no repentance. So there's joy in heaven. Where does the joy in heaven come from? The joy of the shepherd. The rejoicing of the shepherd is witnessed in heaven. When one sinner repents, meaning one sinner turns from themselves, away from themselves, and to Christ, Christ rejoices. And when Christ rejoices, heaven rejoices. Isn't that amazing to think that a decision on earth by a little lamb, as we talked about sheep last week too, didn't we? Conquering sheep. Right? A little sheep, one of us, when we repent, there is an impact in heaven. And there is rejoicing, joy in heaven. Did you hear the thunder this afternoon? I think it was right over our building at one point. Felt it. Felt it in my bones, right? I told my kids one time, my daughter was terrified in a thunderstorm. And I said, no, right, it's okay. It's just Jesus telling jokes. And heaven is rejoicing. But we could say it this way, that someone has repented, right? What do they say? What is it when an angel gets his wings? What is it? When a bell rings or something? Is that what it is? Yeah, whatever. This is better. Heaven rejoices when a sinner repents. A sinner repents, heaven rejoices. Okay, the next story is about a coin. A woman had 10 coins. What kind of coins? Silver. Ooh, silver. Woo! Silver. She got them off an infomercial. Yeah. Now is the time to buy silver. She got 10 coins. She lost one. Where did she lose the coin? Inside the house. Inside the house. It wasn't far, but it was lost in the house. What did she do? At least I still have 9. At least I still have 9. No, she lights a lamp, she sweeps the house, and she searches carefully, until she is exhausted? No, until she finds it. Until she finds it. And when she does find it, what does she do? She calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost." Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. She didn't consider the cost of it. It wasn't like a logical thing. It was, something is lost, I find it. And when I find it, I want everybody to know, and so that they can rejoice with me. It's a family thing. Now, here's the story. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, you notice here in the beginning of this story, the son is speaking a lot. The younger son is the one who is speaking. And we can see as he speaks, what does he find himself in? A pig pen. All right. That's it. All right. But notice, as we'll say it as we go, how much does the son speak? And what is the result of it? The younger said to the father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. In essence, he is saying, will you consider your own self dead? Will you give me my inheritance? How would that go over if you went to your father? Dad, I know you're still alive, but I'm going to act like you're dead. And I want you to give me all the stuff that I will get when you die. That's what he's saying to him. Right? And the father could say, well, I love you. No. That's not the point, Dad. You're dead. I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want anything to do with your words. I don't want anything to do with your house. I want what is mine. I'm going to take mine out of you, and then I'll be gone. I'll be out of your hair. You can forget about me. The father did it. He divided to them his livelihood. Meaning he cashed it all in. He gave to them. He gave to the younger son. He also would have given to the older son then too. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Wasteful living. Wasteful. Taking something precious and wasting it. We all can have an idea of what prodigal living is. Right? Wasteful. It could be anything. Could be anything. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He spent everything he had, and then the circumstances of the times turned bad. Do you think there was much joy in his heart at this time? No. So we could say the fruit of his words have brought him to a place where there is no joy. Maybe the father had spoken. The words of the father throughout time, I don't know, have they ever landed in this young man's heart? I don't know. Seemingly no. But his own words have gotten him in a place. And now, where is he? Luke 15. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. What is a swine? Tristan, what's a swine? Pig. It's a pig. Yes. Awesome. It's a pig. Great answer. I love the confidence in it, too. A swine is a pig. Right, we don't know where this guy was from. Is he a Jewish man? I don't know. But we do know that Jesus is telling this story to Jewish people, to the tax collectors and the sinners, and also the Pharisees and the scribes are there. So Jesus is telling this story, a Jewish man telling Jewish people a story about a son who had lived in a prodigal way. And now where is the son living? With the pigs, right? So this guy, okay, in Jewish culture, how do they look onto pigs? Not very highly. Don't touch a pig. Don't think about a pig. Don't eat pigs. It's not good. Pork rinds are not on the menu. Right? No bueno. All right. It is defile. You will defile yourself if you eat a pig, touch a pig. You know, and here's this guy living with swine. Now he is living with the pigs. And he should, verse 16, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. He left home with a pocket full of cash, right? And he lived it up until he had nothing left. Now he is looking at the pigs eating in the slop saying, man, that looks good. I would like a bite of that. And the pig says, no, back off. Right? What is the fruit of this young man's words? Not good. Defiled. Discouraged. Living in a pig pen. Thinking he could eat pig food, but not having it. But when he came to himself, verse 17, oh, hallelujah, when he came to himself, what does that mean? I don't know. We could think of it today in our world that there is addiction everywhere. And in these addictions, people's minds work in different ways. I don't think about, like, it could be that a good man, a good guy, a good young man, Teddy Roosevelt had this theory, great theory, right? If we make good boys, we will have good men, right? Let's, like, these two young, oh, we got two. We had three. Now we're down to two, like these guys, right? Good young guys will be good men, right? In Jesus' name. That's our prayer. That's our prayer. That's why we pray every week. We're going to understand what he said. But they're investing in your life. And they're saying, we love you. We want you to know truth. We want you to be good young men so that you can be good men. Right? There's a lot of work could be going into rehabbing men. But a lot of that work could be done as when we are young men. Right? And raising young men and women, young girls, to be young men and women of faith. It's beautiful. It works. Okay, so this man comes, but okay, so somebody comes out of a drug-induced stupor. Somebody could go on a tear, and on an addicted tear, and just abuse something for some time. And then at some point, their mind, they say, whoa, what have I done? Oh, we pray this, that people would come to the end of themselves, that they would find no more words in themselves, that they would realize that they are not able to get what they want out of life. They have tried. How many people have tried to get substance out of life by using or abusing or whatever means we have, and then come to the point where they said none of it has worked? He came to the end of himself. And he looked at himself. He said, oh my gosh, I'm living in a pig pen. Right? I'm living in a pig pen. I got an old corn cob that a pig half chewed on. That's what I'm eating for breakfast. What? This is not who I am. This is not what I am. This is not what God has designed me to be. This is not what my Father has given to me. And at that point, what do we have? Thankfully, this guy had a memory of his father. Right? What does he say? When he came to himself, again, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat and to spare, but I perish with hunger? What did the father's servants have plenty of? Bread. Bread. Right? They had plenty of bread enough to eat, to spare. And he said, but here I am, chewing on an old corn cob. What am I going to do? And then he is saying this. I perish with hunger. He is saying this. This is his meditation. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. I'll work my way back into good favor. I'll do everything you want me to do. I'll live out in the cabin, away off the edge of the property. I won't even come near your house. But allow me to work for you. Allow me to give you my effort. I give you my word. I'll be a good son this time. No. I'll be a good servant. And maybe again someday I'll be a good son. So he decided. He said, okay, I'm going home. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. And all the while he's rehearsing his speech. He's rehearsing. I wonder how he's going to receive me. Maybe he's picturing his father. Maybe he's picturing his father in the field, busy, and seeing him and then saying, ah, I don't have time for him. Isn't this the way we think about God? That God doesn't have time for us until we put ourselves back together. We get our act together, we clean it up, we make ourselves worthy again. But that's not what happened. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He was a great way off, but the father saw him. What does that say? He was looking for him. He wasn't just looking for anyone. Because it could have said, he saw him a great way off, he ran to him and said, oh, I thought you were someone else. I thought you were the delivery guy. I thought you were the Amazon guy. Right? No, he knew who he was, and he was anticipating his return, hoping for his return, praying for his return. Did he hear any of the words of his son? No, actually. Not until now, right? The father, he says, okay, he fell on his neck and he kissed him. He could have berated him. He could have embarrassed him. He could have condemned him. He could have done anything, but instead, he falls on his neck and he kisses him. His son, he embraces his son again. Like the shepherd in the first story, when the one sheep is gone, he finds him and he puts it on his shoulder and he is rejoicing. As the father is embracing the son is hearing the heart of the father being poured out. I'm so glad you are back. I have been waiting for you. I have been praying for you. I have been looking down this road every single day since you left, waiting to see your funny little walk come back up the sidewalk. And he saw it. He ran out to him. He couldn't wait. But it was, what did the son? The son simply returned. And made a motion back to the house. The son says, listen, dad, hold on. I gotta get this off my chest, right? Oh, come on, break it up. Hold on. I'm not worthy. But what did he say? The son said to him again, the words of the son, Father, he's been practicing this speech. He's got it written on his hand, right? Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. What is that sentence? It's repentance, isn't it? Isn't that repentance? There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. He came to the end of himself. He realized that there was sin in his life. And he simply came to the Father and says, I have sinned. And he maybe had a lot more to say. I am not worthy to be called your son. I will work. I will do this. I'll prove myself. Yada, yada, yada. Big brother, I can let him, you know, he'll be my boss. Whatever you want. What's the Father's reaction? Oh, there's no, he says, I'm not worthy to be called your son. The father interrupts him. The father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. There's no exchange here. Repentance is this, that I understand that I am a sinner and I turn to God. And then I allow God to express himself to me. A repentance isn't that I have to explain all my decisions. I don't have to explain all my things, but I repent of sin. I turn to God. I say, I repent. I don't even know what to expect from him, maybe. Maybe I don't understand grace. Maybe I don't understand the love of the Father. Maybe I don't understand what God has done. But I do understand my sin. I repent. And then God turns to me and He showers it on. He pours it on. And He doesn't say, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. And you really messed up. Do you understand my portfolio is nothing now after you left? No. He simply says, bring on the robe. The best one, the one that just came back from the dry cleaner. Yeah, that one. Get the robe that he will be clothed as my son. And he will be clothed with me. We are the same way when we turn to God. He gives us his righteousness. And we are identified. Our clothing is marked as one who is righteous. Get the ring on his finger. The ring, the seal. That I have authority in the name of God. I have authority over sin. I have authority over evil. I have authority in my own life that I am not subject to sin. Romans 6:14. And the shoes that I have a message, gospel shoes. I have an ability to go and to bring another message. Not of my words. Not my words. The Son's words brought him to a pig pen. But the Father's words, let's see, the Father's words do something totally different. Look what happens. He says in verse 24, why are we celebrating? Why are we getting all the clothing and why are we getting the fatted calf? You notice it says the fatted calf, right? What's a fatted calf, guys? A well-fed cow, right? A well-fed cow. You know what? This is the fatted calf there too. It doesn't say a fat cow. Go find me a fat cow out there. No, there is a cow that is set aside for a feast, and they feed that cow. So it is the most tender, the best. Oh, it's so good. It's like the Wagyu beef or something in Japan, right? Isn't that like unbelievably expensive? Kobe beef, there it is, right? The fatted calf, the special one, the one we have put aside and we have designated for a particularly important feast. That's what, why are we doing this? Verse 24, for this, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he is found. What is the result of these words? And they began to be merry. They began to be merry. Who? The servants. Everybody on the property. Everything. Everybody. But what are they? Where does this joy, where does this rejoicing come from? It actually doesn't come from the Son's words. It comes from the Father's words. God's words are the things that produce joy in my life. There are things that are particularly joyful, right? They make us happy. We love them. But the words of God are the source of joy in my life. We sang this song, right? I should never be discouraged, but I am. Where do I find joy? I go to the words of the Father. When I have failed, when I have sinned, what do I have? Where do I find my joy? In the words of the Father. In the response of the Father. It is enough for heaven to rejoice. Is it enough for me to have joy? In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, we know the verse well. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. What is the joy of the Lord? It's my strength. Yes, it's my strength. Thank you. Good one. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know where that verse comes? It comes right after Ezra stood up for a whole day and preached the Bible. In the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah builds the wall, and in the midst of building the walls, Ezra comes out with the Bible. They put a wooden pulpit up on a stage, and he reads the Bible the whole day. And all the Levites are there with him, and they go out among the people and they say, do you understand that? And some people say, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then they explain it to them. the explanation of the word, and that is, and then the joy of the Lord is my strength. The word of God, the words of God, the statements that God makes about me, a sheep, are the things that produce joy in my life. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The words of God are the substance of my joy. I don't want to look for joy in any other thing. I don't want to pursue it. It could be that I do. And I will. And I'll say to God, I am no longer worthy to be called one of your sons. And He says, get the calf! Right? Get the little Kobe beef! It's time to have a feast. Why? Because he was lost, but now he is found. And that in the words of the Father are expressed there, and we have great joy. What's the response of the older brother?
Hey,
that's my cow. Hey, I've been feeding that cow for me. I have no reason to rejoice. He messed everything up. Hey, Father, I've been with you this whole time. I have always been with you. You've never even given me a little goat so I could go have a little barbecue with my friends. A lot of animals in this pasture. How many animals are we working with so far, guys? Oh, I just gave you the answer. 3. Thank you. Right? We have swine. What's the second one? Goats and cow. That's good. That's a solid. That's a good feast right there. Anyway. You've never even given me a goat so I could have a little barbecue with my friend. And the father says to him, don't you understand? Everything I have is yours. You have everything. Like, this whole thing is yours. And what do you mean I haven't given you anything? And he said, he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve it. Yeah, no. It's not about who deserves what. It's about what I am saying. And I am saying that this is a reason to rejoice. The grace of God expressed to me is a source of joy. Right? What is God asking that I would do? Simply agree with Him. Your grace is better than... Your words, Lord, are better than my words. Your grace is better than my work. I believe. And when I believe that, when I take a step of faith in that truth, then joy will bubble up in my heart. And all of heaven will rejoice. Wow. It's exciting to think about, isn't it? We have plenty to joy in. Plenty to joy in. We don't need to look anywhere else. We could say, we could have plenty of excuses and plenty of ways out to justify our sin and all this kind of stuff. But no, forget about it. Forget about it. God does not need to hear your explanation or your justification of yourself. He simply wants you to know, like, do you know that you have sinned? And we say, yes. And He says, okay, here you go. The grace of God is expressed to us. We repent and we move on in what God has given us. Oh, Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because what's going to happen? There's going to be some unpleasant times, maybe. Right? Bumpy roads. Crazy experiences, difficulty, tribulation, distress, discouragement, depression, right? Pride, joy, pride, success could be there, right? And that is like a problem also. But what do we need? We need the words of the Father. And when I have the words of the Father, it doesn't matter what is happening around me. I know that He is constant and He will not fail. Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for this story. Thank you for giving us your words. You speak to us so clearly. You speak to us so surely. And just ask that you would help us recognize your words and that the joy of the Lord would be our strength this week. In your name, amen.